principal or a president, receive a good diploma, and finally flip that little castle from right to left on their rented boardwalks. Beyond the calm and circumstance, what I love most about this season is listening to commencement addresses. To be sure, many are simply 20 minutes of banal advice, but now and again, you come across a few words of hard-won wisdom. I found those few words this week in an address given over a decade ago to the Harvard class of 2008 by J.K. Rowling of Harry Potter fame. After thanking the requisite dignitaries for the weeks of fear and nausea she endured at the thought of giving a commencement address to Harvard brainiacs, and so also thanking them for the weight she lost in the process, Rowling invited graduates to consider the fringe benefits of failure and the importance of imagination through the lens of her own life. 7 years after graduating from college, and long before the publication of Harry Potter, Rowling said she had, by any conventional standard, failed on an epic scale. In sum, her exceptionally short-lived marriage had imploded, leaving her jobless, a lone parent, and as poor as it is possible to be in modern Britain without being homeless. By every usual standard, Rowling says, I was the biggest failure I knew. By any biblical standard, it can simply be said of Peter and Paul. In John's Gospel, Peter is a stalwart disciple until he is not. Simon is the first, along with his brother Andrew, to follow Jesus. He is renamed Cephas by Jesus, meaning rock, and immediately sets out to live up to his name. When others cease from following Jesus early on, Peter pipes up and says, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. After first refusing to have his feet washed by Jesus, he then asks Jesus to wash not only his feet, but his hands and his head. The same night, he tells Jesus that he will lay down his life for him, only to be told by Jesus that he will deny him 3 times before the night is over. And daunted by his prediction, Peter boldly cuts off the ear of a high priest's slave when the soldiers and religious leaders arrive to arrest Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Then he follows his arrested Lord into the high priest's courtyard, where he denies him 3 times. precisely what we are taught to think is so essential for a successful life. Our well-meaning parents and status-conscious peers, our degree-granting institutions, as well as judgmental religious communities. In an instant, the successful persons Peter and Paul believe themselves to be, the persons they have worked hard to become in the eyes of peers, have been stripped away. I think it likely that failure at some point in our lives has done the same to us. For as Rowling goes on to say, it is impossible to live without failing at something, unless you live so cautiously that you might as well not have lived at all, in which case you will fail by default. Think back on a time, or maybe that time is this very moment, when failure stripped away the essentials of the person you had worked so hard to become. In the eyes of your peers, or your parents, or your professors, or your partner. That period of my life was a dark one, Rowling confesses. I had no idea then how far the tunnel extended. And for a long time, any light at the end of it was a hope rather than a reality. And looking back, and Rowling does not exactly put it this way, had she succeeded at all the other things? The things that counted for success in British society? She might never have found the determination to live the life given her by God to live. So, in the second place, because of her epic failure, Rowling says, I stopped pretending to myself that I was anything other than what I was, and began directing all my energy into finishing the only work that mattered to me. That work, of course, was writing. I was set free, she tells these privileged and soon-to-be well-connected graduates. I was set free because my greatest fear, the fear of failure, had been realized. And I was still alive. And I still had a daughter whom I adored. And I had an old typewriter and a big idea. Likewise, you could say that failure freed Peter from the need to pretend he was the most zealous disciple Jesus ever could have called into service. You could say failure freed Paul from the need to pretend he was the most righteous under the law, blameless. Failure freed you from what? Going way beyond what Rowling would say of herself. Failure frees us from the need to pretend that we are anything other than sinners saved by God's grace, creatures made in God's image, earthen vessels whose treasure belongs to God. In the third place, Rowling told these graduates on the way up that rock bottom became the solid foundation on which she rebuilt her life. I would end that sentence for Peter and Paul and you and me to say that rock bottom is where God, who is our sure foundation, finds us finally vulnerable enough lunch after breakfast when Jesus asks this failed fisherman and failed disciple if he loves him? Or sitting in the dark in the house of Judas on a street called Straight in Damascus when Ananias enters and lays hands on this blind persecutor of the church? Both Peter and Paul come face to face with rock bottom, with the depth of their need for the love and mercy and forgiveness they could not give themselves. And it is at rock bottom they see Jesus. How else I begin to wonder that by failing and being forgiven, could Peter and Paul, and you and I, be given the sense of urgency we need in order to proclaim God's love, its breadth and length and height and depth to a world at rock bottom? Finally, Rowling turns to the importance of imagination. A gift failure gives to you and me in particular for the sake of the church's mission. Imagination's arguably most transformative and revelatory capacity, she concludes. It is the power that enables us to empathize with humans whose experiences we have never shared. After a story of fish and catches, Jesus shifts the image to Peter's care of Jesus' sheep and Jesus' lambs. And Jewish scholar Raymond Brown notes, the role of shepherd is to lead the sheep out to pasture, to know them personally so that they feel close to him, and especially to lay down his life for the sheep. The Last Supper, Peter boasted that he would be willing to lay down his life for Jesus, but he failed miserably when challenged to do so. Evidently, Jesus has not forgotten, but has forgiven. By the time John's 21st chapter is written, Peter has been martyred with the one whom he says he loves. Likewise, the scales fall from Paul's eyes, and after his baptism, he begins to proclaim Jesus in the synagogues and then to the Gentiles before he is beheaded by Rome for the effort. No doubt, failure had given them imagination of Jesus' sheep and Jesus' lambs who were perishing at rock bottom from want of his love. This Sunday, you and I begin our 24th year of being failures and following Jesus together. And when I say my thanksgivings to God for these years, I thank God for the multitude of ways God's grace and forgiveness has led us to feed his lamb.